I do appreciate so much you coming this morning. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you push through. Because how many know that nothing works toward you doing something for the Lord? Does anybody have a witness for me? Well, you know what I've decided is this. Whatever we do, whatever I do in particular, I give it to God. Who responds, responds. Who doesn't respond, doesn't respond. All I know to do is what I know to do. And we will see a harvest. Oh, hallelujah, we will see a harvest. I said we will see a harvest. Oh, there's somebody in this world that wants to hear the word of God. There's somebody in this world that wants to move to higher ground. There's somebody in this world that wants to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. There's somebody in this world that is a whosoever will. Are you a whosoever will this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Well, this is what for the women of harvest? The year of what? The plumb line. I know some of you are fanning a little bit, but just imagine when we moving around, let's just say we're getting a good workout this morning. Some of you are dancing before the Lord. I appreciate everything everybody has done this morning. And I'm so glad to see all of you that have come from near and from afar. Well, we have another prophetic lesson from the Lord. And again, in short, that's just when the Lord gives me a message, a lesson on something, and I bring it to you. And I read it to you the way he gave it to me. Now, originally, I'm having a little reverb on this, and although it makes me sound magnificent, I don't know. Is it all right for y'all? Okay. I was going to call this a prophetic lesson on the word, but actually what it boils down to is a prophetic lesson on transformation. Transformation through the word. And I'm going to begin reading this to you, and then I'm going to, as we go along, give you scriptures, put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm ready to receive. Say, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive. As you know, in this world, the hardest thing to hold on to is the thing we need to hold on to the most. You can try to, as I've said to you before, you can try to remember something wonderful. You can't. And then some little jingle off the TV will be in your head. Something you heard that you don't want to have in your head is in there and you can't get it out. And the Lord began this lesson with a way he began a lesson several years ago, and I didn't have time to look it up, but I remember the words. He said, the word is peculiarly formed to be able to adapt to the needs of the individual. The word is peculiarly, that's hard for me to say, but it's the way the Lord put it, formed to be able to meet the needs of the individual. Now, this is what the Lord wants me to somehow get across to you today. The primary point is, when we think of our needs, we think of our lacks, right? But what is the primary desire of the Lord concerning us? Transformation. So when we talk about the Lord meeting our needs, immediately we think of the fact that, well, I've got a bill that needs to be paid, or I've got some physical sickness, or I've got some relationship problem. Those should be a side point and are in terms of the way the Lord looks at us. If you think of the way a master gym, a person that puts those facets on the gym works, they look at the stone, and what they do is they remove all that keeps it from being what they see in their mind. Listen closely to this, because I want to get this in a way that it will take root in your heart. Everything needs to be removed that this person that is using the stone doesn't already see. That many-faceted, beautiful diamond, the things that have to be removed so that light can refract and shine like it needs to. Well, what does God see? He sees the image of Christ, and all that is not the image of Christ has to be removed from us. So a lot of times your need is involved in having those things removed. But how many know when we think of our needs, the last thing we want is something to be removed from us? Is that true or not true? But yet God's desire is for our total transformation. Say, God's desire for me is my total transformation. Let's say it again. God's desire for me is my total transformation. And when you begin to look at your Christian walk and your spiritual development in that way, that will be a revolution in your mind, where you recognize it's not just about coming and getting your needs met. You're never going to grow that way. Your needs, as far as God is concerned, is to be conformed to the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. I want to read some scriptures along those lines that will help you. Look at Romans 8, 11 through 14. I'm going to be trying to use my Amplified Bible today. which I don't normally minister with, because these scriptures need this kind of illumination. Romans 8, and if you don't have an Amplified Bible and you're trying to study the Word, I would suggest that you get one, because what it does is it kind of explodes the Word so that you can understand the meaning, okay? And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, but listen to this, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, that is short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you, will also restore to life. Now, does that mean that this flesh body that I'm living in is going to live forever? No, we all know that it's appointed unto man once to die. If Jesus doesn't come first, I believe some of us will see Jesus come. But the way it's restoring life is that eternal life that is now being exhibited in an earthen vessel. I've been restored to eternal life. I've made contact with eternity. And it's being made manifest in this perishing vessel, but yet it is being made manifest. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. In other words, if you live according to what this body that is passing away tells you what to do, you're going to miss eternal life. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, if through the power of the Holy Spirit, if through the power of the Holy Spirit, thank you, Holy Spirit. If through the power, if you live according to the, but if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. If by the Holy Spirit, King James says, you do mortify the deeds of the flesh. You put to death those desires that are within you that separate you from God. The thing that keeps you from shining as that diamond. I was talking to Dan a couple of weeks ago about how really I wished I could do more. You feel failings here and there. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And He said, it's interesting to me. He said, you, and He's speaking you as far as generally goes, because I don't make apple pies. He said, you make apple pies and you delight in it and you never think about the part that was had to be cut off the apples, but you delight in the product. And what He was saying to me is, I sit around and I mourn and moan about the things that keep me from being what God wants me to be, or my tendencies in the past that I look at and I think, how could I have done this or how could I have done that? He said, what matters is you let me take it away. And when it's cut off and when it's transformed, when it's put into my Holy Spirit, you see, you take those apples, you cut out the places a worm may have been or a brown spot or a bruise, and then you put them in the sugar syrup, and then you put them in a crust, and then you bake it in the oven, and the product is delicious. He says, but yet you mourn over what was cut off, and I'm delighting in the apple pie that I've made out of your life. Now, it cannot be more simple than that, and that was an example totally by the Holy Spirit to me, and it is the truth. As we're talking about mortifying the deeds of the flesh, don't be discouraged and get all hung up and thinking, I got such a far way to go. It's not a far way to go for God. What He's looking at is that apple pie that He's wanting to make out of you when He takes your life and He cuts off what's not usable and He puts you in the environment of His Holy Spirit and He puts the image of His dear Son in you, and then He puts you in the oven of experience and sometimes trials, and what comes out is delicious and He delights in it. Don't mourn over what God had to cut out of your life. Sometimes it's something you feel shame over. How many know that I guarantee you 90% of you in here have major shame over something? Don't mourn over that. He's put it away. He's making you something beautiful. And on the other hand, don't mourn over something you gave away that you didn't want to give away, or something that God took that you didn't, and a desire that you really wanted fulfilled, that you thought you can't live unless you have it, and you don't have it, but God says it had to be taken away so I can make that delicious apple pie out of your life. and delight in it. And don't mourn over the dregs. Don't mourn over the dross. Don't mourn over the refuse. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I count everything that I've given up as dung, as refuge, that I may be formed into what Christ wants to form me into. It's so simple to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ when we're willing, number one, to give up those desires we think we can't live without, and to give up the shame that we think we can't get over. How many know that you're dealing with one or the other, and some of us are dealing with both? But how many want to be formed into that beautiful image of Jesus Christ? And that's what the example of the apple pie is all about, that once God sees Christ in you, he delights in that. And he confirms that. I'm going to get some water. How many are happy? Oh my, we could just stop there, couldn't we? But you know I'm probably not going to. I tend to run it into the ground, so whatever blessing you had is far spent and far over. Now, that's the context in which we get verse 14 of Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's within the context of letting God take away from you what needs to be taken away from you and putting in you what needs to be put in you. Everyone who is subject to that process, thank you, Holy Spirit, everyone who subjects themselves to that process of being formed in the image of Jesus Christ becomes a son of God. That's what total transformation is about. When you and all your lowliness and all this stinking carnality are taken and transformed in the image of the transcendent King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That process is what we call being led by the Spirit. And yet we boil it down to just trivial stuff. Well, do I need to do this right? Do I need to do that? God can show you what you need to do, but the overall process is about being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And when you are in the process, truly the process of being transformed into his image, all these other things will happen. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first being transformed into the image of God, and all the other things will be revealed to you. What you need to know will come with that image that is in you. You understand? But we put it backwards. We want to feel good in our flesh first. And a lot of times, if you feel good in your flesh, you are not being transformed, because those old habits are being coddled. Those old ways of being are being continued. And you can't be transformed if that's what you're walking in. How many want to go to where God wants you to go? Well, that was Romans 8, 11 through 14. And then I want to jump down to 26. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Now, if you don't know where to begin, I really am asking the Lord in my ministry to help me not just to present a case scenario to you or what I see as being a problem, but to present to you that living solution of what you need to do and where you need to go. Because when the Lord gives me these lessons, he gives that aspect of it to me, but I'm not always able to relate it to you or to relate it to you. And I want you to have that living hope in you. You see the problem, but what are you going to do about it? So to the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. You don't know where to go today. You hear that there's this image of Jesus Christ into which you need to be formed, the transformation. Where do you start? You don't have to know, because the Holy Spirit bears you up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to you. in yearnings and groanings you can't understand. You don't have to understand because your spirit understands. You don't have to feel lost. You don't have to feel overwhelmed. How many have felt a little overwhelmed lately? The Holy Spirit knows where to take you. The Holy Spirit knows from where to keep you. The Holy Spirit knows what you need. You don't know what you want. You don't know what you need. You think you know. But as far as being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, only His Spirit knows what we need. Oh, hallelujah. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Don't you see why the Holy Spirit is so very important? The Holy Spirit is that agent by which the transformation takes place in you. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to go, the Holy Spirit of God in you is directing the process. Even while you're sleeping, He's speaking to you in your dreams. Even while you're in the midst of a trial and tribulation, He's teaching you. He's honing you. He's putting you in the fire. He's making you a better person. I got this lesson sitting in the car after finding out that my broken tooth had to have a cap. The most horrible thing I can think of is being trapped in a dentist chair. But yet I went out there while I was waiting for Pastor Harlene to get her teeth clean, and I said, God, I'm listening. And He said, here's what I want to tell you about the transforming power of the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Don't get caught up on what doesn't matter in your life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to where you thought you couldn't go. Let the Holy Spirit teach you what you thought you couldn't know. Let the Holy Spirit make of you what you thought you couldn't be. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what you thought you couldn't see. For in His eyes are all things made manifest to lowly men like me. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. I've used up all my energy for the whole sermon. See, the problem is we need to have more Women of Harvest meetings. That way I wouldn't have to get all of it done so quickly. You know what I'm saying? So, God, help us as we pray. Now, that's the context in which we have this next scripture, 28 of Romans 8. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. That's the context. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That's the context. While you're in that process of being led, that is being transformed, that is being obedient, that is letting go of what you need to let go, of grabbing hold of what you need to grab hold. Within that context, He says, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to see the end product. How many know if you bit into that same apple pie when the crust wasn't cooked and the apples were still hard, you're going to think that God's made a mistake? How many know that's true? How many knew if you grab a fetus out while it's being formed, and some do, that you're going to have a very different image than the finished product? Let God finish with you. Let patience have its perfect work. That's what that scripture means. Through your endurance, let the perfect work of God be made manifest in you. Don't jump out of the oven when you're not done yet. In the midst of a trial, we want to bail, don't we? How many know we do? I'm not a sufferer any more than you are. I want to bail. But this is what I've come to the point of believing. And what it took for me, I don't know what it may take for you. I'm saying whatever it takes, God, form me into what I was meant to be. And as I said to you last time, and I think the time before, the Lord gave me the best definition of destiny that I ever had. He said, destiny is your predetermined usage. Predetermined by who? God. But yet we come up with the idea of what we were made for. Oh yes, Lord, I'm seeing what I've been meant to be. And He's going way off. Way off. But yet, where he is, as I said to you, was it last time or it may have been on one of the wake-up calls? I don't know anymore. Oh, it was last time. That shame is glory if done for obedience' sake. That even when you walk in shame, if that's because you were responding to an obedience, then that's glory. You got to get your definition of what destiny is out of your mind. You got to get your definition of what success is out of your mind. You've got to get your definition of what victory is out of your mind and conform it all to what God knows He has predetermined you to do. And that is what the devil wants to keep each of us from. The devil does not care how successful you are. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. The devil does not care how successful you are in any other area than what God has created you to do and to be. He doesn't care if you are a fabulous world-class singer, if he meant you to be an evangelist, he's happy with that. He doesn't care if you're the most famous screen actor, if what he meant you to do was to go feed the poor and or be a teacher to children. He doesn't care if you are the most beautiful person in the world. And when you walk by, people with awe say, oh, look at her, look at him. If that inner self is ugly of disobedience and rebellion toward God, he wants to keep you out of your slot. He wants to keep you out of your niche. He wants to keep you out of your predetermined use, because he knows when you slide into that and the power of God is behind you, you're gonna hit the mark. And it may not happen today. It may not have happened yesterday. It may not happen tomorrow. This one thing I know, as the Apostle Paul said, and I think I put in that letter to you, this one thing I know, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. What was he pressing on toward? The same thing that we're to be pressing on toward. Our predetermined use. What, when our spark of life was given, God determined we would be used for a particular purpose. First of all, verse 29. Of Romans 8. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. So what is your first predetermined use? To be formed, to be, you are predestined to be formed into the image of his dear Son. And then when that happens in you, what God is going to do with your life individually will happen. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, we've said this many times and it's become cliche. No one would have guessed when they saw Christ suffering on a cross and dying and giving up the ghost that he had found the slot. If we'd have been listening, we would have heard him say, it is finished! And end to his purpose. His purpose wasn't when he healed the sick. His purpose wasn't when he raised the dead. His purpose was that moment of appointment where the sin of the world came upon him. From the beginning, that was his purpose. Because from the beginning, he was God and he was with God. And God's word was going to perform what it said it would perform. And part of his word was bringing us all back to him. So at that point where we looked and we thought, something went wrong. And that's what the disciples felt. What? Wait a minute. What went wrong here? And I'm speaking to you by the Spirit right now, and I don't know why I don't want to cry over this. I'm crying with you, I guess. You're looking at your life, and you're thinking, what went wrong? What went wrong here? I had great plans and great dreams, and yet it's dying or dead. But God is speaking into your heart today. Hold on. Hold on. Friday night came, but so did Sunday morning. When Jesus, who is your life, appears, you're going to appear with him. It doesn't matter what your life looks like now. All those things, even if it was in the midst of your rebellion and disobedience, if you now totally submit to God, he'll form it to your good. Don't look at you hanging on the cross and thinking something went wrong. Know that God knows something you don't know. How many are glad that God knows something you don't? How many are so glad that God knows something you don't know? If all you knew about your life was all you know about your life, then you might despair. If in this life only we have hope of Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. That's not just referencing the fact that there is eternal life or life after life and that you're going to see your loved ones again, but it's talking about the fact that there is an eternal purpose working in you. It isn't just about what you see in yourself in this life. It's about what God is forming you for, looking toward eternity. And in that you can have hope. In that day where we are like Him because we've seen Him as He is. And how do we see Him as He is? When He is fully formed in us. That's why there'll be no tears. They'll be all wiped away because now we see it all plain. We see the purpose of God. A lot of people will say, well, if the dead know what's going on here, how can they not have tears? Because they see the overriding plan of God. And that is what their hope is in. Why don't we get a head start now? Why don't we let the Lord wipe a few tears away from our eyes today? You may not know it in your intellect, but let that Holy Spirit of God in you say, it is well. The Shunammite woman, I believe that's who it was, who the prophet had given her the son by prophetic word, and then he died. Her son is dead. And yet she said, it is well. Now, why could she say that, and what did she do? She went and took the prophetic word and laid it at the feet of the prophet and said, this is what you said. She could say it was well because she knew what God has said would endure. How does that apply to your life? If you think that things are going wrong, if you think that things aren't lining up with the word, take your life and lay it up against the word and say, now it has to be conformed. It has to be conformed. I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by what I know. I am not moved by my doubts and fears. I am moved by my hope and my faith. I know what God said. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. That boy may be dead, but I lay him on the prophetic word and I say, he was given to me by prophecy and is not going to be taken away. Because dead to you is not dead to God.